Following audio is from Living Waters Christian Church, located in Buxton, Maine. Please feel free to share this podcast and make copies, but please do not charge for those copies or alter them in any way. For more information about Living Waters, please visit www.lwaters.net.
Before we do, I just want to ask the Lord for a fresh encounter of Him through His Word this morning. Amen. God reveals Himself through His Word, and that's what we're believing for today. Father, we just invite You to come and speak to our hearts. God, we open up our hearts to You. God, we open our minds, our spirit, God, and we desire, Lord God, a fresh encounter with You as we look into Your Word together. Lord, I ask that You would clear up confusion today. God, that You would give hope to the hopeless, that you would cause faith to arise as the Word is spoken. And God, we know that You're faithful to perform Your Word. So God, help us to receive it this morning. And let it accomplish all that You desire for it to accomplish in our lives. Renew our mind, transform our lives, and make us more like You. Lord, I pray that Your Word would give expression through us, and that others around us would see Your heart in and throughout our lives, and that we would bring glory to Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Life in the Word. Life in the Word. And Psalm 119 and verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for Your Word has given me life." Now, if you study Psalm 119, you'll know that most all of that psalm is about the Word of God and the importance of the Word and what the Word does and the value of the Word. And I really encourage you, if you're struggling in your time in the Word or making it a priority, that's a great psalm to read and ask the Lord to show you the benefits. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of the Word of God and the importance it plays in our lives. Not just simply, this isn't like reading any other book. We need to understand this book is life-giving. There's life in it. The very heart and will of God is revealed. Amen? And we're going to talk a little bit about the dangers and the consequences of neglecting or not heeding God's Word. There's no spiritual voids. Amen. And so we're going to look at that just a little bit. And also, we're going to see the blessings of receiving and abiding in His Word. The blessings that flow as we make His Word a priority. We're going to see how we do receive the Word and how we apply it to our lives. Amen? It will literally transform us if we can receive what God is saying this morning. So we've talked about that there's life in the Word. It's God's love letter to you. It's God's love letter to me. It's God's manual for life. If you want to do it right, amen, you got to look at the manual. There's a guy that I like to listen to, my wife and I, on marriage, and Jimmy Evans. I don't know, maybe some of you have seen him on TV. He's on one of the inspirational channels. But he has this saying. He says, your marriage has 100% chance of success if you do it God's way. He goes, there's 100% chance you will succeed if you do it God's way. And I was thinking about that. I go, well, that's pretty much the way it is in anything. If we do it God's way. If you want 100% chance for success, for joy and peace and happiness in your life and fulfillment and fruitfulness, amen, you got 100% chance if you do it God's way. Amen. He's the one who wired us. He's the one who made us. He's the one who put the passions and the needs in our heart. And He's the one that reserved the human heart for Himself, so that He could have intimate communion and fellowship with His creation. And so I'm here to tell you this morning, there's 100% chance, amen, for you to be blessed and for your life to have meaning and purpose and for you to fulfill your destiny that God has if you're just willing to do it His way. Amen? Well, how do we find out His way? Right here. Amen? Through His Word. Being in His presence. Being in an atmosphere that's conducive for that spiritual growth and development. So God shows us in His Word Himself. He reveals Himself to us. He reveals the power of His love. He reveals His redemption. And He shows us us. He reveals us to us as well as we look into His Word and our need for Him. Amen. It's the manual for life and blessing. It connects us with the heart and the will of God. And it's a critical component to faith. It's impossible to have faith without the Word of God. Without understanding the nature and character of God that we find from His presence and in His Word. Amen? In Mark chapter 12, turn with me to Mark chapter 12, the Gospel of Mark, in the 12th chapter. We're going to begin in verse 18, and this is where Jesus encounters the Sadducees. And so they come to Him and they're trying to trip Him up. They're trying to show Him that he's got it wrong. That he doesn't understand what He's saying. And they're trying to do this publicly. So some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection, that's what they believe, that there was no resurrection. In fact, they didn't believe in anything spiritual or anything supernatural. Many people say that's why they were so sad, you see, is because they didn't believe any of that stuff. There was no hope of eternal life, no hope of a resurrection, no hope. And so they didn't believe in the resurrection, so they came to Him and they asked Him a question. They wanted to stump Him to prove their point. He's talking about resurrection life, and they're going to prove that there is no such thing, that there is no resurrection. So they're going to use the Word of God, the law, to try to trip up grace and truth, which came by Jesus. Amen? Said, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother." And that was in their Jewish tradition, custom, and in their law. They were big on preserving the family line. And so he's saying that he's going to create this imaginary scenario. And he's saying, now, according to Moses, according to the law, that if a man dies and he has a wife, assuming his brother's not already married, then the next brother is to marry them, and their children would keep the family lineage going. Some of you are saying, "Boy, am I glad that's not in our culture." I know you're doing that right now. So they go on to say, now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. Brother number one dies. No kids. So the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. Man, I think I'd quit marrying the gal if they're all dying. Amen? I had someone at a reunion last night say, "Three guys I dated died." I went, "Whoa, and a guy married you." Amen. Sweet Christian gal, too. It was some of these things were tragic, but I couldn't help but think a little bit along those lines. Maybe it's because I was meditating on this scripture. I don't know. It says, so the second took her and he died and left no offspring. The third did likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. And last of all, the woman died. I can understand that. Last of all, she dies. Now, they create this scenario that's supposed to trap Jesus. The seven had her, in verse 22, and left no offspring. Then she dies. Therefore, verse 23, in the resurrection, when they rise, Whose wife shall she be? For all seven had her for a wife. We've got him, they were thinking. Until Jesus responds. Jesus answered and said to them, Are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? He goes, no, you make a mistake. You don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but they are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead, they that rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him saying, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. What he's saying here, I don't have time to develop all the difference between here and heaven and that. But there's the ultimate fulfillment of all things, and the things that we know it here aren't the same there. It don't need to be. Amen. It's another whole realm of existence. But what he's telling them here is interesting. There's a principle that I want us to think about. He said, you are greatly mistaken because you don't know the scriptures, the word of God, nor the power of God. And I believe that many times we find ourselves in the soup for that very reason. We find ourselves with more questions than we have answers. We find ourselves doing things that we don't want to do. Or we find ourselves in difficult situations because we really don't know the Word of God and we don't understand the power of God. Amen? And I believe God's challenging us this morning to come up higher. God wants to raise the bar in our lives. He wants us to be more like Him. He doesn't want us to fumble through life. He doesn't want us to go around the same mountains over and over again. He doesn't want us to wonder what His plan is. He doesn't want us to wonder how we walk in joy, how we have peace, how we get healed, how we get delivered. How we manifest the love of God. How in the middle of crooked and perverse generations and just a cultural landslide of horrendous things, how to survive in the midst of that. God doesn't want us to wonder about that. He wants us to know. Amen? And it's in the book. Everything you need to know is in the book. Jesus said this. He goes, man does not live by bread alone. Not, in other words, natural food. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's the very sustainer of life. He's liking the word of God feeding our spirits like natural food feeds our bodies. Amen. If I was to do a survey this morning and say, are you in the Word as many times as you eat natural food? Are you all over the Word like you eat a variety of natural food? I love to eat. You just got to look at me. No. I also love the Word of God. And I know, I can tell when my spiritual tank is getting empty. When I'm giving out more than I'm getting. Amen. And you will be able to tell too, because you get cranky and you'll get ugly and you'll be, your fuse get shorter. Some of you got short enough already, you don't want it any shorter. Amen. And you won't be able to see the good in things. And you'll start getting overwhelmed. I'm not just talking to me, am I? Amen. Anybody ever, you know what I'm talking about? Well, see, what would happen if you stop eating in the natural? You start getting weak. Amen. Things start happening. You go long enough and organs start shutting down and you get some serious problems. I've told people, and you've probably heard me say this, comparing the spiritual and the natural, it's like Sunday morning you get up and you go and you have this awesome breakfast buffet. Wherever they are, you have one. And you just eat until you're just blessed. I mean, you're doing good. They had the bacon and the sausage and the eggs and the pancakes. Now I'm going to really make you hungry. And all your favorite breakfast foods, you know. And man, you filled up. But then you didn't get to eat till next Sunday. You don't get to eat till next Sunday. But that was a good one. But next Sunday, we get to do it again. No, what would you feel like by Friday? Me, by the end of Monday. Amen? what would you feel like? Amen? And yet we think we can get away with this with our spirits, which is the real you, by the way. This body don't follow you. You get a new one. That's the good news. But the real you lives forever. Your spirit. Your soul. Amen? And so we need to nourish that. It will keep you from getting offended. It will keep you it will position you for blessing, for promotion. Being in the Word of God will guard your heart. It will keep your emotions. It will keep you from freaking out, amen, when you would have normally freaked out over something. It's amazing when the Word of God gets inside us. See, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It will revolutionize and transform our lives. Now, it's one thing to come here or to open your Bible and read or put in a... They've got some awesome CDs now, scripture on CDs or MP3, whatever you listen to. And some of those voices, they're just amazing. You can listen to them. And, you know, I love to listen to the Word of God. I love to read the Word of God. Any way I can get the Word of God. Amen? But it's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to be in an environment like this and experience it. But it's another thing to do it. A lot of times there's a disconnect between the knowing and the doing. You ever notice that? It's a lot easier to know than it is to do. People will be glad to tell you, too, when you're messing up. Amen? We got a lot of comforters out there that will do that. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock." Now, the house that he's referring to here is your life. It's your life. It can be your family. It can be however you want to look at it. But he's saying, he that hears these sayings of mine, that's step one. He that hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. What's the rock? It's the Word, doing what Jesus said. And his Word reveals him. It's being built literally on him through his Word. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, now did they both hear? They both got step number one. Amen? The Word was presented to everybody. Both builders got the Word. All right? They both heard. They both heard the Word. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, in verse 26, and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. You ever seen what water can do to sand? What a storm will do to sand? I have a driveway that kind of runs downhill for about 250 feet. And I constantly have a flow. I haven't paved it. So I constantly have a flow of gravel and sand working its way to the bottom of my driveway over the years. It's probably been extended 10 feet over the years just because the top part's washing down. Maybe someday it'll be level. I don't know. But it will do a number. Versus a rock. Amen? He said, and the rain descended and the floods came, in verse 27, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, both houses got the storm. Being built on the rock doesn't exempt us from storms. I don't want to burst your bubble this morning, but that's the reality of life. Amen. We live in a fallen world. There's things that we're going to go through that you're not going to think's fair. You're not going to be able to wrap your mind around it. It's not going to make any sense. There's things that's going to hit your house. It's going to hit your life. There's things you're going to hear. There's things you're going to experience. And if you're not built on the storms are coming. They're coming either way. In this life, this is the word of God. In this life, you will have tribulation. Amen. It's a given. Man's born to trouble, he says, as sparks fly upward. I used to weld, sand, grind. Sparks fly upward. Amen. He said, man is born to trouble. We will go through some things. The issue isn't whether the storms are going to come or what the storms look like. The issue is if we are in his word, amen, and we're building our house, our lives around the word of God. It will be like a wise man that built his house on a rock. So when those storms come and the things come, your house won't collapse. It isn't over. Amen. When the storm moves out, storms are temporary. They pass through. They're seasonal. Amen. And when it's gone, you're still there. And not only that, you'll be stronger and you'll be better. That's the way it is with certain trees. Oak trees, they'll say that the more turbulence that they experience, the more storms, the more wind, the more violent it is, the further their roots go down and the wider they spread to stand. It's the very resistance that they face that builds their strength. It's no different for us. We have got to see the importance of the Word of God. James chapter 1 and verse 21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. You know, we're saved by the Word of God. It's able to save your souls. And God is a Savior. And the message of the gospel through his word, amen, we got to have that mindset. You know, part of our armor is, he says, take the helmet of salvation. What does that mean? That means that we have a mindset. We don't literally put a helmet on. It means we have a mindset that God's a Savior. Not just once and for all. Not just we get saved and we've got eternal life and now we're his. But he's constantly saving. He'll save you out of the mess you're in right now. He's a Savior. He's always saving. Amen. He's always delivering. He said, as we receive, number one, we see how, with meekness, you can't receive from the word full of pride. Full of air. You can't pick and choose. You can't say, well, I like this. I'm believing this. But this one, whoa, I don't want to do that. And I'll rip that page out. You got to buy the whole field, Jesus said. You want the treasure, amen, you got to buy the whole field. If you want that pearl of great price, you got to sell it all. It's all or nothing. So we receive, number one, he tells us the way our spirits need to be, the way our hearts need to be to receive. With meekness, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. The word will save you out from among your present circumstances. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. You notice that theme. There were those that heard, but Jesus said the wise man is the one that does, that responds to what they hear. Here, James is saying, you don't want to read James if you don't want to get slapped around a little bit in the spirit. I'm just warning you. I'm putting out a disclaimer. It's a great book, but there's no place to hide. You ever met people? I got some good friends that are just black and white. And there's a place for that. But you got to watch it. See, there's only one James in the Bible that's like him, okay? But when you get in there, he will slap you around a little bit, because there is no place to hide. He'll tell you what your tongue can do. He'll tell you what happens if you don't listen to the word. He'll tell you what sin is, and he'll tell you what righteousness is, and if you can endure it, it's going to change your life. Amen. Don't hide from it. Dig right in. Amen. Mine out those truths. He said, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Don't you like the way he just beats around the bush? He goes, you gotta be a doer of the word. Don't just listen to it, but you're gonna get deceived. And it's true. I've watched people that have supposedly been Christians and never really responded in obedience to the word of God, though they proclaim to be a Christian. I've watched their lives go shipwreck. We've got to engage the process. Amen. We can't stay on the bench. God doesn't have anybody on the bench in the kingdom. Everybody's in. He said, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. This is a great word picture. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. How many of you looked in a mirror this morning? Before you came to church. Oh, the rest of you are lying. I want to see those hands again. How many of you looked in a mirror this morning? Yes, that's better. Remember, liars don't get to heaven. It's all right to look in the mirror. I don't want you to look. Come in here like when you got up. It's okay to look in the mirror. You don't want me to come in here looking like I did when I got up. So what do? You look in the mirror, right? Everybody's hands again. How many looked in the mirror? Amen. How many of you did something about what you saw? Huh? How many? Maybe run in the shower, clean up a little bit, shave, brush your teeth, whatever. Huh? You know what I'm talking about, right? It wouldn't do any good to have a nice mirror in your bathroom or in your bedroom and you go look at it and then you just walk away and forget what you saw. That said that you'd like to. That's a good point. So what we see, in other words, needs to be changed. And he's using this example. He goes, anyone who looks in a mirror, he observes what kind of man he is or what he sees. If he walks away and he doesn't do anything about what he sees, what's the point of looking in the mirror? So he likens the word of God to that mirror. He says, when you get in here, you get a good look at things. And not only do you see what's there, but you see what needs to be changed, and you see how to change it. You see where your spiritual shower is, and razor, and brush, and comb, and all those things that you do to do something about what you saw when you looked in that mirror. Amen? Don't stay away from the mirror. This mirror is a lot more important than the one hanging in your bathroom. I'm glad you all did something about it this morning. Because that tells me you can do something about this. Amen. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty, verse 25, that's what this is, the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it. This isn't a one-time deal. This isn't a one-time pass-through. How would you guys do if you looked in the mirror this morning and you said, man, you need some work, you know? We're going to start with a shower. We're going to start. And then you say, well, that ought to carry me until Jesus comes. Your neighbors would be telling you pretty quick that showers are meant more than once in a lifetime. Amen. Deodorant's okay. It's all right. It's not going to hurt you. You don't put it on once and never use it again. I'm being a little bit facetious, but I'm trying. This is the point James is making. See? He's saying you got to do something about what you see. And God will help us with that. Because he says, if you continue in this perfect law of liberty, and you're not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be what? Oh, say it louder. This one will be blessed in whatever he does. You think a shower gets you a blessing? You get in the Word of God. Amen. Immerse yourself in His truth. Immerse yourself in His Word. He said if you continue in that, no matter how hard it is, and all hell will come against you to try to keep you out of the Word. You set down, you set some time. The pastor talked about getting in the Word. I'm going to ratchet up my Bible reading, my devotions, and I'm gonna get up a little bit early in your alarm breaks. I'm gonna get on my knees before God. I'm gonna read, and then the phone rings, and then you start to pray and look into the Word, and then everything you got to do that day starts parading through your mind. There'll be all kinds of distractions. You got to plow through all that. There's been times when I've had so many distractions. I said, "Devil, I'm not moving until I hear from God. So you might as well quit." And then I'll say, "Lord, I'm here until you speak to me." It just kind of settles it. Sometimes it's a long time. Other times it's instant. Amen? But you got to do it. You got to do it. Jesus, when Moses was in the wilderness and he was leading the people through, remember he said, man doesn't live by bread alone. It was the manna he was referring to actually in that context. He said, but by every word that proceeds in the mouth of God. How often do they have to go get manna? Every morning. Every morning. Amen? He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of that work will be blessed in whatever he does. Hebrews 4 and verse 1, I want to look at how we receive it. Here's a consequence of not receiving it. In Hebrews 4 and verse 1 says, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. How we receive through a spirit of meekness is by faith. Faith comes by hearing, it says in Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Faith is connected to the word. What's the difference between the one that's a hearer and the one that's a doer? Faith. There's the connector. See, the one who hears thinks they can think it's great. They can be in agreement with it. They can see the value of it. But if it's not mixed with faith, it says it doesn't profit them. They're not engaging it. It's not becoming a part of their life. It's not becoming a part of their reality. Amen? It's not working for them because they have not engaged by faith. They were a hearer of the word, but not a doer. And it said the word, the gospel was preached to them. And you know how it works. You've got friends that you've shared the gospel with. You've sat with people in church that have come in and visited or whatever. And they've heard the gospel but was not willing to be moved by it. They didn't receive it by faith. Now you did, they didn't. One acted on it, the other one didn't. And you see the results. Amen? So faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Faith is what puts the word of God in motion in our lives. It's what activates the word of God in our lives. And it's what makes the word profit. And that positions us for blessing. Blessing in all that we do. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith to those who heard it. I'm going to close with this. In John chapter 8, in verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him. Everyone say believed. So he's talking to believers. Work with me here. That's what it says. Okay? He's talking to believers. Jesus said to those who, okay, they're believers. So he's talking to you and I. He's talking to believers. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Abide means to stay in any given place. It means to remain. It isn't like a one-time pass-through. abiding here in the Greek literally means to stay in a given place, to remain there, to abide there. He said, if you abide in my word, in other words, you're continually in my word, you're continually abiding in it, and it in you, he said, then you're my disciples. That's how Jesus views what a disciple is. Now, he's already assumed, I mean, they've already said they were believers. So now he's saying a disciple is someone who abides, who is continually in the word of God and appropriating the word of God. He said, and you shall know the truth. You abide in the word, you know something. He said, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Why do you think the enemy is working so hard to dismantle truth and do away with truth? To say that there is no absolute truth. Doesn't matter what bathroom you use, doesn't matter what gender you are, doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter, we're just supposed to all get along and be one happy family, unless you believe in truth. Then see how happy they are, how tolerant they are. Why? Because truth is everything. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If there are no absolutes, there's chaos. There's no standard. There's no plumb line. What happens if I think it should be okay to murder people you don't like? You can't penalize me for that. That's my belief. That's what I see as truth. Now, I don't. I forget sometimes this is recording and they might not know the context of what we're doing. I'm being facetious here. Truth matters. It matters a lot. It isn't a divine option. It's a revelation of truth himself. Pilate looked right in the eyes of truth and said, what is truth? If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And let me just say this, truth doesn't change with time. I heard a testimony the other day. I want to make sure I don't mention too much. But they come up after a message I preach, and they said, you know, I have some friends that are Christians, and they really, you know, I thought they really had a heart for God, and I don't know if a spouse had died or they had divorced or what it was, but they were living with somebody else. And some of the family members got upset because they thought, man, that's not a good testimony. You know, you're not married, you're living together, you're going through. And he goes, well, times have changed. That was his answer. Jesus said, I'm a God who changes not. In me, there is no variableness or turning. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you may say, well, man, that is a hard line, Pastor, but I want to tell you something. That can bring security in your life. You haven't got to wonder if he's thinking this way one day and thinking this way then. He hates me one day. He's going to love me the next. He's going to judge me today, and he's going to do me in, and then he's going to... No, you ain't got to... You get in the Word. You continue in his Word. You know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You got some constants. You got some things you can count on. You got some things you can build your life on. Amen. That you can go to the bank with, and if you can today, you'll be able to in the future. And if you did in the past, it works today. Amen. There's in him, there is. There is no variable. There is no changing. There is no... He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he walked this earth healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, what's different? Nothing. He's the same. You let culture form the Jesus in you, and you will be disappointed continually. We got to go to the Jesus in the Bible. You know, will the real Jesus stand up? He's right there. Amen? The Word of God is the Word of God. It doesn't change. It's been written around for thousands of years. It's still the truth. It will always be the truth for another 1,000 years should God tarry. Amen. I want to encourage you, bring your life. I need to bring my life into alignment with that truth, with the Word. Not try to conform the Word to our experience or our desires or our wishes or our culture. There's a real Jesus. There's a real Bible, and they don't change. So if you're not in alignment, or I'm not in alignment with the real Jesus and the real Bible, guess who's got to change? And that's what changes us. Amen. Man, I've come a long way. When I got saved, I was listening to, you wouldn't believe what I was listening to and doing all the way to Bible school. Nobody told me any different. In there, they made me read the Bible. I weren't doing that too much at home. I grew up in a Christian family. Thought God had grandkids. My parents were saved, so I'm all right. That was a mess. Be doing things on Friday and Saturday night, going to church on Sunday morning. Didn't have a clue. In Bible school, you know what they made me do? Read the Bible. What a strange phenomenon. God, I had heel marks all the way to Bible school. I like to say I just got an encounter with God and had such a revelation, I just ran to Bible school. Oh no, I fought it. I had skid marks all the way. I did not want to go. I knew just enough that this was going to mean more commitment. And I didn't want to. I did, but I didn't. You know that civil war that goes on in you? But they made me read the Bible. I started seeing things in them. I go, whoa. What I'm doing's not good. I think this could tick God off if I don't get with the program after a while. Hey, amen. This is going to hurt my marriage, or this is going to hurt my relationship with God. And I began to see that there was things in there where that I got looking in the mirror. And there was some things that needed some attention in my life. Amen. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I still look in the mirror, and I still find stuff that needs attention. Hopefully it's not the stuff that was 30 plus years ago. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Put their trust in their heritage, just like I did. We're Abraham's children. Abraham was cool. God liked him. We're his kids. We're all right. How many of you know this is personal relationship with God? God don't have grandkids. Amen? Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen. If the Son makes you free. The Lord showed me we got a lot of slaves in the church. Slaves in bondage. Doesn't have the freedom. Amen. But God wants to have sons and daughters. His kids. Amen. He said, his friends. He said, I like to tell my friends things. Amen. He said, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Do we want to be a slave, or do we want to be a son, daughter of God? Amen. Do we want to be a slave, or do we want to be free? How do we get there? He who continues, abides, stays in my word, there's life in the word, will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And once you're free, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. What's he talking about? In this context, he's talking about sin. We all struggle with it. There's plenty of it going around. But I want to encourage you today, it doesn't have to define you. You don't have to stay a slave to it. You don't have to stay an addict. You don't have to stay in bondage. You don't have to stay in that another secret world. Amen. You come to the Word of God. Let the light of the glorious gospel shine in your heart. You get into the mirror. You see what's there. You do what He says. Amen. God will help you. All heaven will meet you there. He says that person will be blessed in all they do. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No self-help program. It's a God-help program. Where God says, I'm in your corner. Because one of the first things you'll see when you get into the Word is how much God loves you. You'll see a God who loved us so much that He sent us heaven's best. He sent us His Son. And He hung there suspended between heaven and earth and took the wrath and the power of sin over our life. He took it upon Himself. And He took every sickness and He took every disease. He took all confusion. He took all pain. And He bore the curse that we were under. And He was crucified outside the camp. And His blood flowed down. And He gave His life. You see it in the book. For no other reason than love. The Father said, Son, I need you to go down. We need to redeem this creation. And He said, I'll go. For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. There was only one way to do it, and that was to be our substitute. So He took your place. He took my place. So that we could experience the truth and the love and the life that He offers. Amen. When you get in the book, you're going to find this stuff out. And you're going to find out the same one who loves you enough to save you. Then He'll bless your family. He'll bless your marriage. He'll bless your finances. He'll bless your jobs. Yeah, you're going to go through some things. But you'll come out on top. When the storms come and the winds blow, you'll still be standing. Amen. And you won't be standing alone. Let's stand together this morning. As the worship ministry comes and we close the service, I just want to pray. I love to pray for folks to give opportunity to seal the truth of God's word in our heart. I believe in prayer. I believe God hears us when we pray. Amen. Especially as we pray according to His word. And according to His will. Do you know He says that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we have what we ask. It's ours. Amen. Do you believe it's God's will for us this morning to immerse ourselves in truth? To become more like Him? Amen. To experience the life that comes from knowing Him. Through His word. I believe He does. So if that's you today, you may already know Him. You may already be saved. I know most of you are. Probably maybe all of you are. But you're hearing the voice of your beloved this morning say, I want you to come up higher. I've got more for you. I want to know you in a more intimate way. I want you to know me in a more intimate way. This is one of the means right here. We can know Him through His word. and you're purposing in your heart, I want to engage this process. I don't want to be a hearer this morning only, but I want to be a doer. I want to be a doer of what I've heard. Could you just lift your hands and your hearts to the Lord this morning as we close in prayer? Father, we come before you right now in that name that is above every name. And God, we are so grateful for your goodness and your faithfulness, God, that you'll help us with this. God, this isn't mind over matter. This isn't something that we've got to just purpose in our own strength. But God, you said if we would abide there, if we go there, you meet us there. And all that we do will be blessed. And so, Father, I lift up each and every person in this sanctuary this morning, regardless of age, God, whose hands and hearts are raised before you today. And God, we're asking you to take your rightful place. God, for you to be Lord of all. And God, for you to create a fresh hunger, a fresh thirst, a fresh passion for your word. God, I ask that a fire, God, would burn in each life that's here, God, for your word. God, Jeremiah said, your word was like a fire shut up in my bones. God, that there would be a fresh flame, God, as we encounter you afresh, Lord God, in your word. That you would give us a greater love for your word. That you would give us greater revelation and greater understanding. I pray that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Jesus Christ as we look at your word. God, that we would know our Redeemer. God, that we would respond appropriately. God, as we look in the mirror, God, as we see ourselves, God, that we would also see, God, not only our sin, but our Savior. God, not only our problems, but God, the way to victory. Not only our shortcomings, but God, your goodness. God, not only would we be exposed and see maybe our unbelief, but God, that you would bring us into faith. Lord, help us to engage the process. God, we don't want to be like the example that you gave us in your word, where the word that we received did not profit us because it wasn't mixed with faith. Father, I pray that faith would be released this morning as your word has gone forth, and that there would be a fresh impartation and implanting of your word deep in our spirits and our hearts this morning, and that you would create a greater hunger and a greater thirst for your word, and that every morning we would go out and gather it. That it would be a part of our daily bread. God, the very source of life, as we read in Psalm 119. We thank you for giving us your word, Lord. We thank you that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we get to see what the word looks like lived out. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The altar's open if you need prayer this morning, or if you've never given your heart to the Lord, this would be a great day to do that. Amen. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Feel free to come down. We'd be glad to pray with you. We're going to close worshiping the Lord. I trust the Lord's blessed you this morning, and there is a time of fellowship downstairs if you'd like to join us there. Amen.